Our gospel today is from first chapter of Mark, beginning at verse 29. I'm sorry, verse 21. They went out to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were also amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching? And with authority? He even gives orders to evil spirits, and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. The gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Let's pray. Gracious Lord God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that it's been so well preserved and passed down through generations. We are so blessed to hear it. We pray you would bless us more in this time as we ponder it, fill us with your Holy Spirit, and give us understanding to then apply it to our hearts and minds and lives. In Jesus' name, amen. What are some things that cause you to just kind of go, "Wow, that's amazing"? I'll give you one example. Like, I have a friend who lives in another town, and he's a motorcyclist, a biker. And he often would say, not only did he ride a motorcycle, but he usually said this regarding when he was riding his bicycle. I guess maybe he's slower and able to look around more. But he'd say, "Did you see that sunset last night?" It's like, wow, it's like God made that just for me, you know. And so he was amazed at a beautiful sunset. And yeah, that caused amazement in him. How about for you? What causes amazement in you? Is it when you see somebody do something very excellent and you just go, "Wow, thank you, God," or something like that, you know. Or you're impressed by how someone escaped an injury or death just by second or by inches? Does that amaze you sometimes? I'm sure there's all kinds of things that would bring amazement to you. It might be simply the birth of an animal, or maybe the birth of a child, or whatever. But we should be amazed by different things that happen throughout the day. We should be. We should be looking around to see. Sometimes it might be just in the moment saying, "Wow, I can't believe I'm alive. I'm so glad I'm alive." Or, "I've got a few seconds of rest. Wow, it's quiet." Today we're looking at this gospel text in Mark. And what we hear here is some people, it says, who were amazed at Jesus' teaching. What made his teaching amazing? You ever wonder that? Sometimes we can speculate and we can know sometimes by what people say. It could simply just be the truth that he speaks. It could be the boldness with which he says it. It could be that there's revelation going on from God, since he's speaking the word of God, and revelation comes to people in that. It could be that they realize that's for them. Lots of different reasons why they might say that they're amazed at his teaching. In verse 22 today, of chapter 1, it says, "The people were amazed at his teaching." He was teaching in the synagogue, and in the synagogue, they typically would maybe read from other rabbis. They'd read from scriptures, of course. But there was no set person who was necessarily going to be speaking. But Jesus was there that day, and he spoke, and he taught, and they were amazed at his teaching. We go on to read that the people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. So Jesus had authority. It was like just in what he said, how he said it. So that's all going on in the synagogue there. You think about this, you know, in reading this, it reminded me of some things, like how Jesus spoke, of course, the very words of God. Jesus was a fulfillment of Scripture. We heard in Deuteronomy 8:18, which Eric read, that Moses was prophesying, and then it says in verse 15, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own brothers. You must listen to him." And then in verse 18 it said, "I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among your brothers. I'll put my words, in his mouth. And he will tell them everything I command him." You know, at first I thought, in my own sinfulness, thinking, boy, that sounds a lot like maybe Joshua who was coming. You know, like Joshua was going to take over for leading for the people. It kind of made sense to me, and I know that he was a prophet too, but then I thought, I was corrected by Scripture. And if you were to take a look at the end of, in the book of Acts, it refers to this. I'm thinking it's Acts 3, but it might be slipping my mind here. But the whole point is that it says in that section there that Jesus is the fulfillment of that Scripture, of the one coming from your midst. And I thought that was really cool. I put it down in the latter part of my notes here, and now I'm not seeing that page which I did the writing of the Scriptures on. Hold on here. So anyway, he spoke the very words of God. We know this too, because a little bit later on in John chapter 8 we hear this. So Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me." And also from John 12, verse 50, it says this, "I know that his command leads to eternal life." Jesus is speaking, "So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say." He could hear the Father perfectly. That's amazing. And so he would speak what his Father told him. Not only that, Jesus did what he heard his Father say. Jesus gave them an answer. This is from John 5:19. "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does." Isn't that neat? So here we can see why the people would be amazed at his teaching, because he spoke the very words of God and he did the very things of God, which God did. Also, we know that in this same chapter here, in Mark chapter 1, we hear something else that happens. We hear that there's a man in a synagogue who's possessed by an evil spirit or an unclean spirit. And what do they do? The spirit cries out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And Jesus told him to be quiet. And he said, "Come out of him." And the spirit, of course, obeyed. But he came out of him with a shriek. And then it says this, the people were all so amazed. They're amazed again. All so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him." So I suppose you could say here they were impressed by his authority over these unclean spirits, these evil spirits, that he could cast them out. He could control them by telling them to shut up and to set that man free from that evil spirit so that he was healthy. It is pretty amazing and impressive. They were amazed at his teaching and they were amazed at his casting out a demon and having authority over demons. Of course, we know later on that he's accused of being a prince of demons or working with the devil because he could control the demons. But then Jesus said, well, a city divided against itself cannot stand, and neither can, you know, a kingdom divided against itself. And especially if God, you know, if Satan is divided against himself, he won't stand either. He'll be defeated. And so Jesus was saying, by whose spirit do you cast demons out as well? So Jesus wasn't the only one doing it, but some of the Jewish leaders were doing it too. And he is saying, do you do it by the devil? No, you know, it's by God, by the finger of God. We had a song today, Psalm 111. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but just lift up one verse and then point out something to you about every single verse in there. Psalm 111, verse 2 says, great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. In that psalm, in just about every verse, except for perhaps the last verse and the first verse, we hear about the great works of God that are spoken. Every single verse has it. You could read just the first half of that verse and hear about the works of God, the things that God did. It's pretty neat. Again, great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. There's lots of times we can look in Scripture when people are amazed at Jesus. There's a lot of them. I'm going to highlight a few of them here. From Matthew 8, 27, it says, the men were amazed and asked, you know the context of this when you hear this, what kind of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. They're amazed. And also, another demon was driven out. The man who had been mute spoke. And this is from Matthew 9:33. The crowd was amazed and said, nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel. That's repeated also in Mark as well. But the whole thing is, Jesus has done things, and they are amazing. They are amazing because he's God in flesh. We would say that sums it up. Another thing is this, from Matthew 13, 54. Coming into his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? Kind of a parallel to this, Matthew 13, 54. The idea, Jesus could do miracles. He wasn't the only one who could do miracles, but he sure did a lot of miracles. A lot. The people were amazed at his miracles, at his teaching, at his authority, at the power that he had. Here's a summary of one of them from Matthew 15, verse 31. It says, the people were amazed when they... They were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled made well, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. We would be too, wouldn't we? And it says this also, and they praised the God of Israel. That's Matthew 15:31. It seems appropriate and healthy and only proper that when we are amazed at what we see and then what happens, that that would lead us to praise. Like that verse said there, when they heard this, they were amazed and they praised the God of Israel. There's many more we could look at. This one from Mark 2, I remember this, when four buddies of this guy who was a paralytic, they lower him down through the roof. Wreck the roof, you know. Lower him down through the roof into the center right where Jesus is, and then Jesus says, I forgive your sins, and then he was challenged on that, and he says, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or say, stand up and walk. And then, of course, he says, take your mat and go home. And that's what he did. Jesus had the authority to forgive sins too. Now, and heal. He took up his mat and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone. And they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. So it's like our amazement of what God does ought to lead us to praise of God and thanks to God, right? We have this example of two people in the Decapolis, which is the southeast corner of this, the Sea of Galilee. It's a Gentile territory. And Jesus went there and healed the Gerasene demoniac. Remember that? And this is from Mark 5. So the man went away. This is after he was healed. He wanted to go with Jesus. Jesus said, no, you stay here. Go and tell what God has done for you. And so it says that he did exactly that and went and told all the people what God, Jesus, had done for them. And all the people, it says, were amazed. I'm sure, having been there, if we were there too, we would be utterly amazed at the things God does. But you know, even today, we ought to be utterly amazed at what God does. I go back to that verse from the Psalm 111, verse 2. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. So it's like, we should ponder them. We should be looking each day for what God is doing around us. You know, often during confirmation in the past, I've, and sometimes lately, but I haven't, but I'll say, what is God doing around you? Sometimes it's like, we can't think of anything, but God is always at work, all day long, everywhere. We need eyes to see it, and perhaps we should be seeking it to say, what is God doing? Because when we see what God does, we're amazed. And that amazement should lead us to praise of God. There's other verses I'd like to share, but I think I better hold off on that. I'll list a couple of them in case you want to find them again someday. Mark 6:2, Mark 10:23-26, Luke 9:42-43, and John 5:20. All of these verses also talk about the amazement of people regarding the things that Jesus did. Sometimes you meet a person and you might think, that person is the most lost person I know. They're the most disgusting person I know, and they're most far from God person I know. And we might say, I'll pray for them, but tell you what, there's no way. And they're never going to change. Have you ever heard someone say that? Or maybe we've said that. They're never going to change. When I hear somebody say that, I like to say something like this. I didn't know you were God. And they go, what? Of course I'm not God. But you just said they're never going to change. You know the future then. You're making a prophecy here. Is that right? I mean, no. They said, well, I'm not making a prophecy. You just said they're never going to change. Only God knows that, not us. And therefore, we don't know who's going to change or who could change. Or when they are shown the love of God, or when they experience what God does in their life that transforms them. One of your pastors who used to serve here, I remember him telling a story. Years ago, he's no longer with us, but years ago, he had basically been a rebel, a very big rebel against God. He was running from God and he didn't believe in God. God changed that. Amazing what God can do. I know he told a story about a person who was in his town, Tioga, where he was pastor then. And this guy he went to visit in the hospital. He went to visit this guy who was a godless man, potty mouth man. You wouldn't believe it. He was a brawler, a drunkard, all kinds of things. God got a hold of that man's heart in their conversation together. He had heard about this pastor who used to be the way he used to be. And they talked. And God changed that man's life. Repentance and accepting Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. It was remarkable. It was amazing. I think that's some of the most beautiful and awesome things that happen is when God changes heart. When a person gives up and surrenders and said, I can't do it anymore. I've blown it. I've wrecked it. You know, forgive me, God. When they do that, God works a wonder. We must never say they'll never change. Only God knows that. And we certainly want to be used by God to help something amazing happened, right? The people would be amazed at how awesome God is, his authority, his power, his words, and more. Let's pray. Almighty God, we often come around to this thought of people we know who don't know you. People might come to our mind right now. But they, God, need you. And you are such an amazing God. We pray, God, that we will be able to see amazement in that person's life at what you do, and that that will lead to praise in them of you, that that will lead to faith. Do so many things, God, that it causes the people to see clearly that it isn't by accident, but it's by your hand. Thank you, Lord. We are amazed at you, and we praise you. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.